Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of looking at your word, that we can learn something from it, and that we can get excited for your soon return, Lord. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the next phase, we're moving to chapter 39. I thought I might do more verses this time, but a lot of information packed in here. So I'll take on the first eight verses. I call this one God Fights This War, and he does. He supernaturally protects Israel and knocks his enemies down, as we're going to see. And this fits in as a picture into the whole realm of prophecies having to do with the tribulation period, I believe. So I'm going to show you some references both in Revelation and in Matthew. They kind of correlate to the same theme. Let's get some verses up here. And starting in verse 1, great place to start. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And as you remember, this is the exact same way that Ezekiel 38 opened up. Just to show you here that almost the same words. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So again, we'll do a little map here just to refresh our memories. And the area we're talking about, Meshech and Tubal, you see up top there. And then Rosh stands is Russia. And these are all of the countries that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 that are going to be attacking Israel. And that what we left off is they were actually attacking Israel. And now we're going to see what happens when God steps in. Verse 2. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Interesting term that I'll leave but the sixth part of thee. And I ran into a correlation that shows some interesting attributes about what they mean by the sixth part. And it, a couple of commentaries comment that it's about, I always thought that it's 5/6 of the attacking force would be destroyed. And 1/6 would be left to go home in shame. And that may be partially true, but another interesting aspect of this is the fact that it says six parts. And we see back in Ezekiel 38:22, it mentions what God is going to do against them, and there's actually six things he's going to do. And we see this listed back in verse 38:22, and I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood, and I'll rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, a great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. If you count those as six there. And so this six might be also a correlation to what God's going to do to stop them. Rather interesting. I never saw this aspect before. But this helps to tie it in to Revelation even better. And so let's read that same area. In Revelation, we were talking about the four horsemen yesterday. And we talked about the first horseman being the Antichrist. Well, from there, we move into verse 3, which is the second seal. So reading Revelation 6, verse 3 through 8, we see a similar thing going on. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereupon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So this is talking about the Antichrist was given this power. And this power being the war, and the war is going to be with pestilence and with plagues and fire and brimstone and so on. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the beast say, come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. This has to do with economic, which is usually during wartime, economic failure is quite common. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This verse has always fascinated me that talking about the, it's going to be take a, basically a whole day's wage to get enough food to eat. So a whole day wage just to buy enough food to eat for one day. But don't hurt the oil and the wine. That's kind of symbolic of the really rich aren't going to feel that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Lack of food. This is the other part I wanted to kind of concentrate on. And when he had opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So this is kind of correlates a little bit with what we're talking about here in Ezekiel of how they're going to actually, how death is going to come. But also over in Matthew 24:7, there's a similar verse. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So I'm starting to see a correlation here between these three prophecy type things, that they're all basically talking the same thing. And it gives us a little bit better confirmation of the timeline of what may be happening early on in the tribulation. Okay, back to Ezekiel 39:3. And I will smite the bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of their right hand. That's always been a fascinating verse too. If you think about it, remember the first horseman had a bow, but no arrows. And here, and then in the second horseman, he's giving the right to kill with war and plagues and so on. So that's where the arrows come in. But the other aspect that I've read about this particular part is that the, remember we're talking about Ezekiel, so this is 586 BC. And of course they didn't have things like jet aircraft and missiles. But that, you can see the symbology here that I will cause thy bow, smite thy bow out of their left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out of their right hand. And one commentary I read years ago said that that this would be the different launching systems would be the bow. That would be like the rocket launchers either on aircraft or on the ground. And the arrows would actually be missiles being fired from the and cause the arrows to fall out of thy right hand. So that basically the missiles, when they're fired, will not reach Israel. They'll just fall on the ground. And some verses that kind of support this, but talking about the sixth part on verse 2. I guess I put these in the wrong place. Oh, no, I did it right. Okay, never mind. Talk about smiting the bow. Psalm 76:3. Yeah, break ye the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Selah. See, there break ye the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. So this is a really short psalm, but kind of to the point of what's going to be happening during this time frame. Also in Jeremiah 21:4-5. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith you fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them in the midst of the city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. So here we see it. Now this particular time it was Nebuchadnezzar coming against Israel. But this time it's going to be reversed, and it's going to be the enemies against Israel that God is going to put out his strong arm against. Okay, verse 4. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and thy and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. So very interesting verse too, and there's a lot of correlation here also through different parts of the Bible, but talking about the ravenous birds and how they're going to be devouring the bodies, basically, from this war. So starting off in Ezekiel 33:27, say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Jeremiah 15:3. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Going all the way to Revelation 19, all the way to the end of Revelation 19:17-18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of captains and the flesh of kings, flesh of captains and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of him that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So you can see a correlation here between this prophecy in Ezekiel and the prophecy as it proceeds in through Jeremiah and also Revelation. And one more rather interesting one. Oh, we got one in Matthew 24:28 also. For whosoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This is Jesus talking. So whosoever the carcasses are is where the eagles be gathered together. So this is another thought by Jesus talking about the this time frame. Another interesting one that was mentioned in Job, first written book of the Bible, over in Job 39:27. This is a conversation between God and Job, and God is explaining some things to Job. So this is God speaking. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. For thence she seeketh thy prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. So there's another indication of birds that go to feed off of those that have been left to rot. That's another aspect to consider, too, that in this war, as all these people are dying out in these open fields. So we're going to get into more tomorrow when we talk about what the cleanup. when you have all these bodies out there, it's going to take time to dispose of them. Now the birds are going to take care of a lot of it. But there's some interesting terms being used when it comes to how they're cleaned up. And we'll get into that tomorrow. But realize that when you have rotten bodies out there just decaying, that bacteria, which is a pestilence, become very paramount. So that could be what the cause of some of the pestilence is, just that the rotten bodies out there. And we're talking about lots and lots and lots of them from what it sounds like, with all these different countries coming after them. So back to Ezekiel 39:5. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. So all these attacking armies are going to fall on the open field. And God is going to be to supernaturally cause that to happen. Verse 6. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And he's going to, not only because they attempted to attack Israel, his promised land, he's also going to send destruction on all these countries based on this verse that is going to by the use of fire. And some verses that help support this is over in Ezekiel 30, verse 8. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. So if you're helping the wrong side, you will be destroyed also, particularly when it comes to Israel. Also in verse 16 of chapter 30, I will set fire in Egypt, sin shall have great pain, and no shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distress daily. Those are some towns in Egypt. It's just an example of when God decides to use fire to punish. Amos, one, a few verses there, verse 4, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Verse 7, but I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Verse 10, but I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Some more examples of God's use of punishment. If you remember all the way back in Genesis, when he promised he would never flood the land again with water to destroy. I'm not sure what the verse is, but it basically says that the next time it'll be by the use of fire. And here we see examples of it. This is probably the verses that they confirm that this time God's going to use fire. It knows also in verse 6 how it talks about they'll be carelessly in the aisles. Now, carelessly in this context, in the Hebrew, means confidently, basically that they're very confident. So they'll be proud and boastful. And some verses that talk about this over to Ezekiel 38:13. Actually, 38:11 also. Missed that one. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. So you see that they're very confident here, that they're not afraid of anything. They have no fear. Again, I think this is because of the Antichrist will be supernaturally, basically made a deal with them that he would protect them from any enemies. In verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? So you have a few countries that are questioning what they're doing. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Sheba shall offer gifts. That's in the Psalms 72:10. Also in Jeremiah 25:22. And all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea. I basically brought this up just to correlate some of these verses, how they, where we get that term, the isles, and what the isles stand for. One of the commentaries says that the isles actually means coastlands. So that it's representing the coastlands of the countries. And Tarshish was considered originally, well, you mentioned Tarshish was in there. I read one report. I used to think it was England, and it could still be. But there was one other thing I saw that it could be the southern coast of Spain also. Because I guess they were also well known for their trade, and so that the products. Because everybody thought it was England because of the tin. Britain is known for its tin export. But in that time frame, the tin could have been shipped down to southern Spain to be sent up to the Mediterranean. So they both could be true. Okay, back to Ezekiel 39:7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. You notice this word pollute. A companion verse for that is over in Ezekiel 36:23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Also talking about and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, that portion there, we over in 38:16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So on to the last verse we're going to take today, which is Ezekiel 39:8. Behold, it is come and is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day wherein I have spoken. And I can definitely see this, that that this is a prophecy that can be, it's probably going to be manifested itself in the tribulation period, and some verses that kind of go along with it. It's Revelation 16:17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven coming from the throne, saying, it is done. And also over in Revelation 21:6, going way into the future. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the free fountain of the water of life freely. So those are some other areas that God talked about. It is done. And it, this pretty much this section, as we are moving through Ezekiel 38 and 39, I can see some hints of the period of time that we're going to be coming into here. So that to say that some of these things aren't at least hinted at all the way back in the Old Testament, I think is false. I can definitely see some attributes here that correlate. And Jesus also confirms it in some of the verses I mentioned about it, Matthew 24. So I'm going to stop there because it, in the next section goes into God is going to be talking about, Ezekiel is going to be talking about the next phase about the cleanup. So I wanted to stop there because it basically is a good stopping spot. Not a real long one today. So I hope that was enjoyable. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. We proceed forward with Ezekiel 39. And with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time to look into your word, and that you can be with us and help us to continue to understand your word, and that we can apply it. And it's so exciting, Lord, to see the, some of the fruition of this, of these prophecies coming to pass. And of course, we know we won't be here to see them for real, but it's exciting to see that some of the things, some of the players involved in all these are showing their early signs that the truth of what's going to be happening during the tribulation. And I praise and I thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Exciting times. So I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.